Thank you, Ann. Children's Church, you're free to go. I see some waving. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your mercy on us this morning, that we may sit here and consider what you have done. Consider your life and death and resurrection. May it forever change our hearts and minds, knowing and depending on you and what is true and what you've done. Work in our hearts this morning, Holy Spirit. Amen. He is risen. Imagine if he had not risen. Imagine if he were still in the tomb. How would the world be different? How would your life be different? How would the age to come be different? The resurrection of Jesus is the key to the Christian message. Why do we meet on the Lord's Day on Sunday? Why has the church met this day for the last 2,000 years? Because we're celebrating that Jesus is risen from the dead. So if you were here 2 weeks ago, Pastor Jeff finished off Mark 15. Let's go to Mark 16. Turn over there in your Bibles. Mark 15, it ends with these two verses. Jesus has been crucified, he's been buried. And we read in verse 46 of Mark 15, Joseph bought a linen cloth, took him down, wrapped him in the linen cloth, laid him in the tomb which had been hewn out in the rock, and he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, were looking on to see where he was laid. So the last thing before the sermon today, the last thing we've seen is Jesus is dead. They wrapped him in linen. They placed him in a tomb. And they rolled a stone in front. And we see that these ladies were watching it happen. So today, we're thankful that that's not the end of the story. Imagine if Mark ended there and there was no chapter 16, but there is. We're going to see that, in fact, Jesus rose from the dead. We're going to look at three stages of it. Verses 1 to 4, we see the ladies coming to the tomb. And then verses 5 to 7, we see them in the tomb. They enter inside the tomb. And finally, in verse 8, those ladies leave the tomb. They flee. They get out of there and spread the good news. Jesus is risen. He is no longer in the tomb. Let's read about it. Stand up. Let's read Mark 16, 1 to 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome bought spices so that they might come and anoint him. Very early on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. They were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" Looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, although it was extremely large. Entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting at the right, wearing a white robe, and they were amazed. And he said to them, "Do not be amazed. You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who has been crucified. He has risen. He is not here. Behold, here is the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going on ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. They went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had gripped them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. You can have a seat. So part one is coming to the tomb. These ladies are coming to the tomb. The first words in chapter one says, when the Sabbath was over. In one sense, if we just look at that, Jesus has fulfilled the Sabbath rest. And we look forward to a Sabbath rest with him. The Sabbath was over. So during the Sabbath, the Jews, they didn't work. They couldn't really travel. So if you imagine these ladies here, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome. Jeff talked a bit about them two Sundays ago. But these are ladies that have been with Jesus. They love him. They've ministered to him. Mary Magdalene, there's a story of seven demons had been cast out of her by Jesus. Mary, the mother of James. There were two James in the 12 disciples. One is James and John, and their mom was Salome, so she's there. And then there's James, the other James, James the Less, as some call him. His mom is also there. So there's these three ladies for sure that are there. Other gospels, there's other women there too, but Mark mentions the three. So if you can imagine them this Sabbath, they can't go anywhere, they're at home. They saw with their own eyes, Jesus is dead, he's in the tomb. They must have been eager to go. It says they bought spices. They want to come and anoint Jesus' body. I was thinking this week, why? They had seen, if you read, I think John tells us, Joseph and Nicodemus, when they got Jesus' body, they had 75 pounds of spice, tons. They had anointed Jesus' body when they wrapped him up. And these ladies saw that. It was an extraordinary amount. Why would they come with their bit of spices and do the same thing? Well, as I thought about it, I thought, no matter what others have done to show their love and their sacrifice to Jesus, it's no excuse for us not to do what God's put on our heart, what God's given us the ability to do. Don't worry what others have done to show their love for God. You do what you can do. You show love for your Savior when you have the opportunity. Don't use others' worship or service as an excuse for what you can do for Jesus. And I see these women, they're doing what they can to show that they love their master, they love their teacher. So they go buy spices, and now they're raring to go. The Sabbath is over. Verse 2 says, very early on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. So I think this shows they were eager, and we want to get to this tomb as soon as possible. As soon as there's a bit of light, we're going out there. We love this Jesus. We don't know what's going on. We saw that he died, but we want to show him that we care for him and that we love him. They didn't waste a minute of daylight to get to their precious Jesus. Notice the end of verse 2. It says, when the sun had risen. Of course, this is the S-U-N. This is the sun. But it's not the only sun to rise that day, is it? I was walking here this morning to church as the sun was rising, and I thought, wow. If every time I see the sun rise, I think, the Son of God rose from the dead. What a wonderful reminder that would be. The sun has risen. So imagine these ladies. They saw Jesus get killed. They saw him be put in a tomb. They bought some spices. They're coming to the tomb. What do you think they're talking about? What's in their mind? Well, verse 3 tells us. Look at verse 3. They were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" Who will roll away this stone? They'd seen with their own eyes. Look a little bit further back, chapter 15, verse 39 in Mark. Chapter 15, 39. When the centurion who was standing right in front of them saw the way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly this man was the Son of God." Look at verse 40. There were also some women looking from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, the less, and Joseph and Salome. So these same three women have seen, they saw with their own eyes Jesus crucified on the cross. They saw it. And then if we go a couple verses more, Mark 15, 46, Joseph bought a linen cloth, took him down, wrapped him in a cloth, and laid him in a tomb which had been hewn in the rock, and he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph were looking on to see where he was laid. So for sure two of them also saw him put in the tomb, the stone rolled in front. So the last thing they have seen with their own eyes, this wasn't an eyewitness, they didn't talk to anyone, they saw it. They saw Jesus die, they saw his dead body get put in the tomb, and they saw the stone rolled over. So when they're walking there, our hope, who we thought was the Messiah, he's dead. I can't believe it. And I think in their rush, they want to show him love. They're thinking, okay, that's right. There was that stone rolled in front. How are we going to move that stone? That thing was massive. Maybe there are different ideas. Maybe there's some men or gardeners at the tomb. Well, how are we going to get this thing open? We get no hint them thinking, oh, I wonder if an angel came and rolled it away, or, yeah, Jesus talked a lot about being risen from the dead. I wonder, did he mean now? Is it going to be open? We don't get any hint that they thought that. They assumed what they saw with their eyes was still that way, and they were going to somehow have to roll this stone away, and his dead body would be there, and they would put some spices in there to show that they loved him. So I imagine their heads down, talking about this, discouraged, but their heads lift in verse 4. Looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, although it was extremely large. What? The stone's rolled away? They can't believe it. I imagine they were just lost in conversation, feeling defeated and down, and what? The stone? It's open? They're trying to make sense of it. So we've seen in these first four verses, these ladies coming to the tomb. But now they're not just going to come to it. They're going to enter in. So the second part here, we're going to look inside the tomb. Look at verse 5. Entering the tomb, they physically go inside this tomb. They saw a young man sitting at the right wearing a white robe, and they were amazed. They come inside the tomb and they see a young man in white. Who is this young man? Well, the other Gospels help us out. Let's go to Matthew's Gospel. Turn with me to the end of Matthew. Matthew 28, verse 1. See if you can decipher who this young man is. Matthew 28, verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat on it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, he has risen, just as he said. Come see the place where he was lying." So we see that this young man, in fact, he looked like a young man in white. This is an angel. An angel that descended from God, rolled away the stone. Luke tells us there's actually two angels, John as well. Here, he only mentioned the one. Who knows? Maybe there's thousands, but they see one, or they see two. God sent his messenger, his holy angels, on this special occasion, roll that stone away, and now sitting inside the tomb to give them a message. What's their reaction? When these ladies come inside the tomb, they see this angel. It says they are amazed. Lots of translations will say they were alarmed. They were in terror. They're astonished. The definition of this word here is a strong feeling of awe and agitation in response to the highly extraordinary. They're like, what is going on? There's an angel in here. Jesus, his body's not here. What does this angel say? Verse 6. And he said to them, "Do not be amazed. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who has been crucified." So he says, you're looking for the right person. You're looking in the right place. This was the place. He was crucified. He has been crucified. You saw it. He has risen. What words? I don't know. I don't think they could really comprehend it. What truth that he has risen. Truth for them. Truth for the early church. Truth for the whole world, even now. Christ has risen. If he had stayed there, if he was still lying there, our faith would be useless. But he has risen. He says, look where the place, behold, here's the place where they laid him. Look, have a look. Feel it if you want. Touch it. Look, this is where he was. See it with your own eyes. He was here. His dead body laid right here. But he's gone. He's risen. In fact, he tells them, go. Don't stay here. Tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. If we look back, where did he tell them? Look at Mark 14, 28. A couple chapters back, Mark 14, 28. Jesus speaking, but after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee. He had told them when he was alive, I'm going to die, I'm going to be raised, I'm going to go to Galilee. Meet me there. And the angel reminds him of that. Remember, he told you, after he's going to be raised, meet him in Galilee. So these ladies are taking this all in. And we know he will meet them in Galilee. If we read ahead, in John, he meets them in Galilee, at the Sea of Galilee, while they're fishing. He eats with them. And at that time, he meets with Peter. Notice that special mention of Peter. Go tell his disciples and Peter. Why Peter? Well, I think if you remember Peter, just a couple days ago, when Jesus was being harassed and beat and questioned, Peter denied him three times. And afterwards, he's just crushed and he weeps bitterly. And we see that when he meets Peter again, he restores Peter. He says, Peter, do you love me? And he encourages him to feed his sheep and love his sheep. He still had a heart for Peter. And we see in the end of Matthew 28:16 that the disciples, they go to Galilee, they meet Jesus, they worship him. So we see them coming to the tomb. Now we see them in the tomb with this angel, but they don't stay there. Look at verse 8. They leave that tomb. Look at verse 8. They went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had gripped them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. They are gripped. They're like, what is going on? They're trembling. They're trying to take this in. They're bewildered, frightened, full of fear. Try to put yourself in these ladies' shoes, or sandals more likely. Imagine the one you've loved, who you've served, you thought is your Messiah, your friend, your teacher. You saw him die, you saw him be put in a tomb. And now you get inside the tomb and the angel says, he's not here, he's risen. Really? Like, you're trying to catch up in your mind. What is going on? What is true? Really? He's alive? He's going to see us? And maybe they're starting to think of some of the things. Yeah, that's right. Jesus said a whole bunch of times that he was going to rise on the third day. He was going to rise. But really? He meant it? He's alive? Matthew says that they were afraid yet filled with joy. So yeah, they were afraid, but they were also filled with joy and excitement. I imagine so many emotions running through their heads. Can it be? Can it be that he's alive? So they go out. They don't say anything to anybody until we see, once they get to who the angel had told them, they tell the disciples, Jesus is risen. So we see here these ladies come to the tomb. They're in the tomb. And then they leave the tomb and they share this good news. And I think Jesus went through the same stages. Consider Jesus' life. Came from heaven, was on this earth, coming toward the tomb, was tortured, killed. He got put in the tomb. His dead body lay in the tomb. But that was not the end of his story, was it? No. Jesus rose. He left the tomb, and we know he appears for 40 more days he's on this earth. He appears to 500 at once. He talks to all sorts of people, and we know at the end of those 40 days, he went up, he ascended to be with the Father, and we know he says he's coming back to take his children to be with him. And I see this is our journey too. All of us in this life, if you're alive, you're headed for the tomb. You're all going to die. I'm going to die one day. Perhaps the Lord comes first. We don't know. But we're all headed to the tomb. We're living our lives however we're doing it. But one day, all of us are going to end up in the grave. Now, because Jesus didn't stay there, and because he rose from the dead, there is hope for each of us that we don't have to stay there. If we have our hope in Jesus, that he rose from the dead to pay for our sins, one day we can leave the tomb and be with him forever and ever and ever. And our sins can be forgiven. And we don't have to pay for our sins and be in hell forever and ever, but we can have hope that we will no longer be in the grave, just as our Savior did. Jesus was dead. He was in the tomb, but he did not stay there. He is not still there. That is our Christian hope. Our hope is that because Jesus didn't stay there, he rose from the dead, we believe that when we die, we too can rise from the dead and have new bodies and be with the Lord, enjoying him forever and ever and ever. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians chapter 15, we're going to start at verse 13. I asked at the beginning, how would the world be different? How would you be different if Jesus had never risen from the dead, if he was still in the grave? 1 Corinthians answers some of that. Paul is telling the Corinthian church, because there's some that are saying, there is no such thing as resurrection of the dead. Once you're dead, you're dead. Nothing else after that. 1 Corinthians 15, let's start at 13. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. Your faith is also in vain. If Christ stayed in the tomb, if he didn't rise, our preaching is in vain. What I'm telling you right now is a waste of time. What you tell your kids, what you tell your coworkers about Christ that he raised is a waste. There's no point in us even meeting here this morning. You might as well have all slept in. We might as well not have this church. You might not have been to Sunday school. It's a waste of time if Jesus is still in the grave. The end of 14, your faith is in vain. Your faith, what you believe in Jesus, if he didn't raise from the dead, it's a waste. Verse 15, moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses of God, because we testified against God that he raised Christ from the dead. So this preaching we do about Christ, it's not only a waste, we're actually false. We're actually false witnesses against God. If Jesus has not been raised from the dead, I'm a false witness against God, because I'm trying to tell you every time we're preaching up here that he did rise from the dead. Verse 16, for if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless and you are still in your sins. If Christ stayed in the tomb, if he never left, we are still in our sins. That means when I die, when you die, if Christ did not defeat death, if he did not defeat sin, when we die, we'd have to pay for all of our sin. The thousands, the millions of things I have done against God, I would have to carry the weight of that. I'd have to face the judgment of God on every one of those sins. And that would be in hell forever, because there's no way I can pay for it. Your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Verse 18, then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. I think of Mr. Dick Friesen. If Christ has not been raised from the dead, then he's fallen asleep in Christ and he still has to pay for his sins and there's no hope for him. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we're to be pitied. Because we're telling lies, we're sacrificing ourselves for nothing, we're giving up our own desires for nothing. We're to be pitied. That means we're deceived. It's all useless. But praise the Lord. He didn't stay in the tomb. He rose from the dead. So we're not stuck in our sins forever. Our sins can be forgiven. those who have gone before us, who have died in Christ, we have hope for them that we can see them again one day, that they're going to have a new body and they're going to be with the Lord forever. And we do gather here every week to celebrate the fact that he rises from the dead. That's way better than sleeping in anyways. And we give up in this life, and we're not to be pitied. In fact, we look forward to an eternal kingdom, not just a temporary kingdom here of 20, 50, maybe 100 years when we're alive. No, we look forward to an eternal kingdom for 100, for 1,000, for 1,000,000 years, forever and ever and ever. Praise the Lord that he's no longer in the grave. Praise the Lord that he defeated death and rose from the dead. Because of that, you and I have the hope to one day also rise from the dead. If you're here today and your faith is in Christ, you know that because he rose from the dead, you too can one day rise. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, well, you're still alive, so you're still coming to your death. Put your faith in Christ today. Look to him today. Call out to him for mercy today. Be ready. He's coming back. He says he's coming back. Confess your sins. Share the good news today. Final thought. Consider the ladies in this story. They show their love and dedication to their Savior. First of all, it says they buy spices, so they're using their money. They get up early in the morning. They're giving up their sleep, their time. They're going out. They're risking the Roman soldiers, they're risking their safety. They're risking their reputation. The synagogue rulers, they've all condemned Jesus. But they love their Savior and they're eager to go show that they love him. They're risking being mocked. But they have the courage to give it all up for Jesus. How about you? Are you willing to give up your time, your money, your reputation, your freedom, your safety for Jesus who died for you? And not only did he die for you, he rose from the dead. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for the truth that you rose from the dead. You showed that you are who you said you are, that you are God Almighty. Thank you that because you rose from the dead, we all have an opportunity to rise from the dead, forgiven of our sins, to be with you forever. Lord, may each of us believe that, be cut to the heart, live our lives for you with the few days we have left on this earth. May we believe in you and trust you. Amen.